2 Kings 11, this is the story of Jehosheba, who was the sister of Ahaziah, who took Joash the son of Ahaziah and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being slain and hid them in a bedroom, hiding them from Athaliah so that he was not slain. That's verse 2. Well, the situation at the time is that really the entire seed of David, the seed royal, the royal family, had been pretty much wiped out. In fact, they had all been wiped out. Verse 1, when Athaliah saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. They were all destroyed. And in fact, at the end of 2 Kings 10, and it's confirmed in 2 Chronicles 21, the royal family had already been depleted because of another load of murders. So I think Jehosheba sees that the whole fulfilling of the promises to David was all concentrated in this one little baby, who at that time, I think you can work out, was 1 year old, because he becomes king at 7 when he's been hidden for 6 years. So Jehosheba takes the initiative and she grabs this 1 year old baby, who is in fact her nephew, and she saves him. And her name means sworn to Jehovah, but you can work out that she came from a pretty bad background. She was the daughter of Joram, she was the sister of Ahaziah, and she didn't have a great spiritual sort of pedigree, but she rises to the occasion and she saves this one-year-old baby. And infant mortality would have been pretty high then. And my point is that God's whole expressed purpose to raise up a seed, a messianic seed, through the royal line of David, was at this point concentrated in one tiny one-year-old little boy, who was very prone to death anyway because infant mortality was so high, and has got this crazy Athaliah who's so angry that she is destroying all the royal family and has succeeded in doing so. We're told God's whole purpose was focused in this one fragile little child. And this woman, who, as I say, came from not a great spiritual pedigree, the daughter of King Joram, Jehosheba, she rises to the challenge and grabs him and saves him. And so God's purpose through this little boy was taken forward at this very delicate stage by this woman. And you think of the similarity with Esther, that because of her, God's people were saved. I mean, Haman's idea had been to destroy absolutely every Jew in the whole of the kingdom in Persia. And again, it was a young woman, Esther, who was not, I don't think, particularly spiritually strong. She contrasts with Daniel in that she hid her Jewishness. She obviously ate the king's meat, drunk the king's wine, even prepared it for him. She was fully assimilated, and her name is really meaning star. I mean, it really is the female equivalent of Marduk. Mordecai, her uncle, was named after Marduk, Mordecai. And, you know, she doesn't come from a great spiritual background. The very fact that Mordecai wanted her to become the queen, and she's prepared to sleep with the queen, with the king, before they're married, and well, as it happens, she pleases him, and therefore she's accepted as the queen. All the evidence is that she was not a spiritually strong woman, but she was used and she rose to the occasion. And so you could reflect, sort of alluding to Winston Churchill, that never has so much been owed, not to so few, but to one so weak. This is how God's purpose goes on. And although on one hand God is sovereign, on the other hand, God works through us. And if we let the ball drop, it is not necessarily the case that God will somehow compensate for that. Now, in Esther's case, well, Mordecai says, if you don't do this, well, you know, You came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe God would raise up another deliverer, but maybe not. He has delegated his work to us, just as in the parables, the workers are given the wealth of the householder. And if they squander that and mess it up or just leave it buried and do nothing with it, well, the whole progress of the master's goods and the master's business is thereby impeded or even damaged or even destroyed. So God allows himself to be vulnerable in the sense that he has delegated so much to us. And the more you delegate, the more you risk. And this is indeed, I think, what we see at this time, that God's purpose to work through the line of David now comes down to a very, very fragile little trickle. Just this one-year-old baby with the family wanting to destroy it, and grabbed and saved by a woman who rose up to the challenge, even though, as I say, she was not from a great spiritual pedigree. And so it is in the salvation of men and women and the progress of God's purpose with all sorts of people. It depends on you. For example, leaving that tract on a train. You raising that subject of Jesus in that conversation. You in all your weakness, in all your inadequacy. This is how it is. This is typical of how God works. And as I say, at times, the whole progress of his purpose depends upon the weakest things. And that's the comfort to us, that our weakness, our fragility, is in fact our qualification.